friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, did some sporty cheering this week. Jim's alma mater, South Carolina-based Clemson University, captured its second national title in the past 3 years in American-style college football. As you might expect, Jim was delighted to see the Tigers of Clemson take the trophy. So delighted, in fact, that Jim filed a report on Clemson's success. And Jim joins us now with that story, and he also has an update on Libyan women's soccer and the National Football League playoffs.
2017, Clemson wins college football's national championship.
It's very, very difficult to do. It's been 35 years at Clemson. It won't be 35 years before Clemson will do this again.
Coach Dabo Swinney was right. It only took 2 years to win again, as the best two teams faced each other for the fourth time in 4 years and a third time for the title. Clemson, ranked number two, demolished favored number one Alabama 44-16 in Santa Clara, California.
You know, there was a lot of talk about best ever all year long. We were never in that conversation. But tonight, there's no doubt, you know, first 15-0 team to beat Notre Dame and to beat Alabama to do it.
And Clemson did it with 19-year-old Trevor Lawrence, the first true freshman quarterback to win a national championship since 1985.
Even if we didn't go all this way and win a national championship, this has been a team that I'll never forget, for one, and just it's just been amazing. The focus and how driven this team is has been unbelievable, and just these seniors have just taken me in, and they kind of dragged me along, and you know, until I got my feet under me, and they're awesome people as well as players.
Along with Lawrence, Dabo Swinney's Clemson team is stocked with young freshmen and sophomore talent who are already playing at the highest level, like freshman receiver Justin Ross, who made several spectacular one-handed catches.
He has been unbelievable, and the catches that you saw him make tonight, those are routine for him. I mean, it's just amazing. I told Trevor, I said, could you quit throwing crappy balls so he don't have to show off like that and make some of those crazy catches? I mean, but that's what he can do.
After a wild back-and-forth opening that had Alabama in front 16-14 early in the second quarter, Clemson rattled off 30 unanswered points to put the scoring to rest by the end of the third quarter.
We took care of the ball. We attacked, made big plays. Defensively, we bent a little bit, but we didn't break. Had some critical stops. We made some plays in special teams. And it was just a complete performance all the way through.
Nick Saban, who is trying to become college football's first seven-time national champion coach, could only console his Alabama team.
I just have a feeling that I didn't do a very good job for our team, with our team, giving them the best opportunity to be successful. I always feel that way, even sometimes when we win.
It has been rare that Saban said he was not comfortable going into a game.
Especially the matchups we had in our secondary versus their receivers. That was something that was, you know, kind of bothering me going into the game. And as the game unfolded, it worked out that those matchups were a big difference in the game.
Saban could only remind his players with the long list of accomplishments they had achieved.
You know, winning the SEC, winning the Orange Bowl, and winning 14 games. I mean, our seniors have done a phenomenal job. I think they've won like 54 games in their career or whatever. So one game doesn't define who you are.
And he had one other philosophical observation from enduring a rare loss, especially in the biggest game.
But I also told the players that sometimes we learn more when things don't go well, when we lose. You have to learn how to lose as well as how you win. And there's a lot of lessons for us to learn from the experience that we had in this game.
As for Clemson, Dabo Swinney has captured two national championships in 3 years to add to the school's 1981 title. His thoughts on a successful program are different from most coaches.
Our goal is not to win the national championship, but I measure our team based on, did we get better? Did we reach our potential? Not every team's good enough to win the national championship. That's okay. It's okay. What was our commitment? How did we prepare? And so we've built a program of consistency on and off the field.
And it's off the field that Swinney is most focused on.
8 out of my 10 years, we've been top 10 academically, you know, and that's really what I want to be measured by, not national championships. Hey, that's great. That's all part of it. But how do my three sons turn out in life? And how do all these players that God has gifted me with to be in their lives, how do they turn out in life? What do they do 10 years from now, 5 years, 15 years, whatever it is? That's really what I'm going to be measured by.
Still, with a young championship team, Clemson has a promising immediate future.
Can't wait to get back started Friday and see if we can find a way to go do it again.
Eight teams remain in the National Football League playoffs after an exciting wild card round where the usually coveted home field advantage meant little. Only the Dallas Cowboys got past the visiting Seattle Seahawks at home. A missed field goal as time expired left the host Chicago Bears with a loss as the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles move on. The Baltimore Ravens lost at home 23-17 to the Los Angeles Chargers. L.A. coach Anthony Lynn was impressed by his team's defense.
This is a tough place to play, but I feel like the first time we played them, we played their game. Today, I think we played our game. Our defense was outstanding. You helped that team under 100 yards rushing. No one's played that team the way our defense played them today.
The Chargers got 5 field goals as veteran quarterback Phillip Rivers savored another postseason win.
We never lost one of these wild card games, so it's good to keep it going. We know we got a tough task ahead next week. But it was typical of this team this year, the way we won. We've won in so many different ways. Ugly, pretty, defensively, offensively, come from behind, make a field goal at the buzzer. So many different ways.
Indianapolis quarterback Andrew Luck threw for 222 yards and a pair of touchdowns as the Colts raced out to a big lead and cruised to a 21-7 win over the Texans in Houston. Indianapolis coach Frank Reich was glad his team went ahead early.
Got the fast start. There's something about a fast start. You know, you get a team and you put pressure on them when you get the fast start, and we didn't execute quite as well in the second half. Didn't feel like we got conservative. Felt like we just didn't quite execute the way we wanted to in the second half. We had multiple chances to really put the thing away. Didn't do us. The defense kept us in the game. Great team win.
Luck liked his offensive line, which helped to open up a running attack.
Any football game, whether it's playoff or not, you need to control the line of scrimmage. And by no means was it perfect, but man, the positive run yards we got were great. And we know that as an offense, when we can do that, we can have great balance. So we can throw it a bunch. We can huddle up. We can go up tempo. We can slow down the tempo. We can run it.
The NFL playoffs move to the divisional round ahead of the conference championships and Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta on February 3rd. Young women looking to play the world's most popular sport now have a place all their own in Libya. An all-girls soccer academy in the capital is looking to break societal norms in the Muslim-majority country that frown upon women wearing shorts or competing on the same fields as men. According to its founders, the month-old Al-Tawadi Academy in Tripoli is home to the country's first all-girls team. Sam Abadi is a soccer academy trainer.
I chose soccer because it is for everyone, not just for boys. Back when we played in school, they always told us no, girls should not play. But soccer is for everyone. Everyone plays abroad, so everyone should progress and play in Libya too. This is one of our dreams, given that we don't have many dreams.
The girls were mostly recruited through an ad campaign in local schools. While their parents and coaches are supportive, Coach Mohamed El Tawadi says the conservative society is not as much.
Some people have given me negative feedback on social media, but also have given me advice through these comments. Of course, we take these positive comments with an open heart as we do the negative ones. I have no problem with either of them.
Adoham Al-Abed is another coach who says among the negative comments, girls should not wear shorts.
Of course, Libyan society is conservative. Once we uploaded a photo of the young girls playing, we received many negative comments. They have chosen to dress conservatively. They wore shorts with pants underneath. All Arab countries have female soccer teams made up of young girls, adolescents, or women, except for Libya.
Despite some negative feedback, parents like Rania El-Sharif support their daughters.
I'm full of hope that they might take these players and form a team for young girls. I'm glad that I have driven them to these kinds of activities before, such as basketball and tennis. But the harmony was not like it is here with football.
The Libyan women's national team was formed in 1997. It was only accredited for the smaller indoor version called futsal. But players and coaches say they hope FIFA one day will recognize their team so they can compete internationally on the full soccer pitch.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
I also encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled Egyptian King of African Football, Mohamed Salah. And I write about the Egypt and Liverpool star who won his second consecutive African Footballer of the Year award this week in Dakar, Senegal. For reaction to Salah winning again, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigerian sports journalist Ufoma Egbemuno.
I think to a large extent, Mo Salah, you would say, thoroughly deserved the award. He's been consistent all through 2018. First half of the year, he was one of the leading forces for Liverpool as they reached the Champions League final, and also as he also helped his Egyptian side too. And then the second half of the year too, he's been quite good for Liverpool, scored a lot of goals. You know, Liverpool are currently top of the Premier League table, and to a large extent, you want to think between himself and Sadio Mane, who both play in the same club, you want to think he just shades it over Sadio Mane. And as for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, you could say the fact that Arsenal ended up, yeah, he was quite good for Arsenal, but Arsenal ended up really not winning anything. Not like Mohamed Salah himself won something, but you think between the three of them, Sadio Mane just shades it over his teammates. Mohamed Salah just shades it over his teammate Sadio Mane, and then the Arsenal man Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Also at the award ceremony, an African first 11 was named. No Nigerian player made it. Your take on it too?
I think to a large extent there's been too much hullabaloo over that award. I think there's been too much noise about it. The reason I say there's been too much noise, yes, we're Nigerians, and of course you want to think that a Nigerian is supposed to be on that list, and there's a case for Wilfred Ndidi. But here's the truth of the matter. This award is voted by the players themselves. These players do not watch enough football. Even in the FIFA awards, the FIFA Pro 11, go back and check. There's always a problem with it because the players just vote based on their friends or popularity. For example, Dani Alves almost always gets into the right-back position in the FIPRO Awards because he's arguably the most known right-back in the world. So whether he's playing or not, people get to vote him. The same way Sergio Aurier got voted into this when Sergio Aurier did almost nothing for Tottenham and even Cote d'Ivoire. The same way an Eric Bailly, who was almost out injured for a very long time at Manchester United, and even when he came back from injury, was not even featured by Jose Mourinho, gets into this team. You ask yourself, how? So, yes, Wilfred Ndidi ordinarily, you think, should be there. But I think to a large extent that people should understand that these votes are not done by CAF officials. These votes are done by the footballers themselves. Most of them do not watch their teammates. They just vote based on the name that comes to their head, the most popular player. That's why the FIPRO Awards or the Best 11 Awards, whether it's for CAF or for FIFA, it's almost always a popularity contest and not about what the players themselves do for that particular period.
And the South African Thembi Kgatlana won the Women's Player of the Year. How do you see that award?
I'm in a WhatsApp group of sports journalists, and to a large extent, in the days leading up to the awards, there was an argument for and against her. Truth of the matter is, one person is only going to be the winner. There's the argument for the South African. She was quite immense at the just-ended Nations Cup. But if you want to look at it, the award is supposed to be an award for a whole year. So you ask yourself, is it for just the Nations Cup or for the whole year? Because if you're looking at it from the whole year, then maybe, just maybe, someone like Asisat could possibly shade it over her, coming from her club football and the fact that she was also part of the team that won the African Women's Nations Cup. But she herself, that's Kgatlana, the winner, was quite good in our club a little bit, and then was immense at the Nations Cup. So it's neither here nor there. One person is always going to be the winner. She did well. Her coach won Coach of the Year because South African women's football, to a large extent in 2018, you know, just went off the roof rather from where it used to be. So you could say good award for her. Maybe I wouldn't say undeserved, I wouldn't say so, but between herself and her sister, anybody could have won. There's certain times in such awards where it happens like that. There's no clear difference between A and B, so A could win, B could win, and that's what happened in 2018.
That's Nigerian sports journalist Ufoma Egbemuno, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Turning to tennis, let's go down under, where top players are getting ready for next week's Australian Open. One of them is Spanish star Rafael Nadal, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, Rafael Nadal arrived at a promotional event in Melbourne, where cheering fans were clearly glad to see him. Rafa's preparations for the upcoming Australian Open had a rough start. Last week, he pulled out of a tournament in Brisbane to nurse a thigh strain. And on Tuesday, the event host asked Rafa if he's ready to compete.
You know, just, of course, have been a tough moment to not have the chance to start the season in Brisbane, but had a small issue on the thigh, so I needed to take that decision. No, and I'm happy to be back here in Melbourne. I enjoyed it 2 nights ago playing in the Fast Four, and yeah, I am just practicing as good as I can during the whole week to try to be ready for Melbourne, and I am very excited about this event again.
Last season, Rafa was plagued with a slew of injuries that forced him off the court and out of the number one spot. Serbian Novak Djokovic currently sits at the top. Rafa retired from last year's Australian Open in the quarterfinals because of a muscle pain in his leg. But Rafa says coming back to Australia is the push he needs to get back in the game.
Playing here is always an amazing motivation, always had a great feelings with this event. Great connection with the people, with the crowd. The tournament is just unbelievable. All the things that the tournament is doing is just fantastic for the fans, for the players, for the promotion of our sport in general. So everybody wants to play well here, no? And I really hope that I can have a good week of preparation.
Well, another player who's gearing up in Melbourne is Novak Djokovic, who I mentioned earlier. On Thursday, he dominated a practice session against Britain's Andy Murray, who's struggling to regain his form since undergoing hip surgery last year. World number one Djokovic, however, is literally at the top of his game and heads into the Australian Open favored to win a record 7th title and his 3rd Grand Slam in a row. And here's a fun fact. Djokovic and defending champion Roger Federer both hold 6 Australian Open titles, so they are both aiming for the same 7th title record. They're on opposite sides of the draw, so the only way they will meet is in the championship round. The winner will tie American Serena Williams, who has already won 7 Australian Open singles titles. Serena is making her first appearance at the tournament since winning the title in 2017 while she was 7 weeks pregnant. A win this year will match her with Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slam singles titles. Serena's biggest test could be her 4th-round match against Romania's Simona Halep, who is currently ranked world number one. Defending champion Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark makes her return to the tournament. And at the draw ceremony, she said she feels like the courts are suited for her and she's glad to be back. The current rankings are as follows. On the men's side, Novak Djokovic sits at number one, followed by Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer of Switzerland. South African Kevin Anderson is ranked number 6. On the women's side, Simona Halep is number 1, followed by Germany's Angelique Kerber and Caroline Wozniacki at number 3. American Sloane Stephens sits at number 5, and Serena Williams is ranked number 16. The 2019 season kicks off in Australia on January 14th. And that's all from me. More sporty news to come. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the host Houston Rockets 116-109. The game was billed as a matchup between two league most valuable player candidates, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks and James Harden of the Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
Giannis Antetokounmpo's 27-point, 21-rebound, 5-assist night led the Milwaukee Bucks to a 116-109 win over the Houston Rockets. Antetokounmpo shot 8 of 16 from the field as the Bucks used a 23-1 second-half run to aid the win as they improved to 29-11 on the season.
We did a great job, just not just outside the paint, just to make plays all night. That's what we try to do. Try to find the weakest defender and just, you know, go at it and make plays, and hopefully like that we could, you know, score in the paint or, you know, create threes, open threes for us.
Malcolm Brogdon added 24 points on 9 of 12 shooting for Milwaukee. Despite James Harden's 42-point, 11-rebound night, the Rockets fall to 23-17. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. Speaking after the loss, the NBA's reigning MVP, James Harden, had this to say.
We didn't win, but we still fought. We fought for the entire game, and that's all you can ask. We made a couple mental mistakes, and like I said, we didn't get enough stops when we needed to. But overall, throughout the 4 quarters of the game, we played our butts off, and we just got to continue to get better.
Houston Rockets basketball star James Harden speaking in Houston, Texas. James Harden is leading the NBA in scoring this season, averaging nearly 34 points a game. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Los Angeles Lakers power forward Kyle Kuzma. You might say Kyle was on Kuz control. Kuzma with a career-high 41 points in 3 quarters of action. He helped lead the Lakers to a 113-100 victory over the visiting Detroit Pistons. The Lakers have been playing without their superstar LeBron James, who injured his groin on Christmas Day. Lakers have their fingers crossed that LeBron We'll be back on the court soon. Let's give one more sunny side of sports shout out to 19-year-old Slovenian Luka Doncic. The Mavericks love Luka. He's probably going to win the NBA Rookie of the Year award. Luka Doncic, 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists as the Mavericks beat the Phoenix Suns 104-94. And that wraps up the January 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaites. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists theorize the sun will begin to die in about 5 billion years when it expands into a red giant. 5 billion years later, the sun is expected to exhaust the last of its nuclear fuel, leaving behind its small, dense, and hot core, which is called a white dwarf. Once the white dwarf completely cools, trillions of years later, our sun will become a cold and lifeless object known as a black dwarf. Astronomers from England's University of Warwick say that data from the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite provided them with direct evidence that white dwarfs form crystal cores of metallic oxygen and carbon. The researchers say this crystallization slows down its aging process, lengthening the time before it would become a black dwarf. A study outlining the research and findings has been published by the journal Nature. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora.
We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.